It's the web's only podcast completely devoted to daily fantasy sports. Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Here's your host, Dan Bach.
How's it going, folks? Welcome to another edition of the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix presented by Daily Joust. I'm Dan Bach, your host for the podcast, and good to be with you this Wednesday. Hump Day should be a good podcast. Lots of industry stuff to talk about. Some news with the podcast starting up in a couple of weeks, so that's going to be kind of cool. Also, an interview with Perry Misner of Daily Joust. He is their head college basketball writer, so we will hit up on some of the games going on tonight in college hoops. But I do want to start with just letting you in on it. I kind of referenced it the other day in passing. You might have noticed it a little bit on the Roto Grinders forum page, but the people at FanDuel nice enough to basically invite us out to Las Vegas for the big FanDuel Fantasy Football Championship going on next weekend. So yours truly is going to be packed the podcast and heading out to Vegas, baby, for a couple of days, and that means the podcast is actually going to get some weekend action. So we are going to be out there and going to be going live from Vegas, talking to all the participants, probably be talking to a lot of people over there at FanDuel. You know, I haven't met Nigel. I've seen pictures of this guy. I've never met him, so it might be nice to get him on the podcast since he spends most of his time, I think, on the other side of the pond, but I'm sure he'll be in town for the big festivities coming up next weekend. So I want to thank FanDuel for sending myself, Cal, and Cam out there, and we are going to be covering the FanDuel Fantasy Football Championships big time on Roto Grinders, and that's going to be including the podcast. So looking for that coming up in a couple of weeks, and should be fun. So definitely looking forward to talking to all the people involved. So that's coming up next weekend. A lot of talk recently. I haven't been able to hit up on it because we've just had too many games and picks and stuff like that. But a lot of talk about the chat rooms. And, you know, I've addressed chat before here on the podcast. Basically, I think there should be some etiquette involved with the chat. But some people, and it seems like the majority of people, the complaints have been going on FanDuel, but I know that there's issues everywhere with chat, is that it just kind of becomes a little bit, I guess immature might be a good way to do it. And It does get a little bit frustrating, but that's what happens when you have lots of people joining your site or joining an industry like Daily Fantasy. You're going to have morons, and I don't want to say ruin it for everybody, because I know a lot of these websites who run the chats, they do the best to, you know, suspend or block people who really don't make it enjoyable for everybody, because I'll be totally frank with you. I think the chat rooms are great. I think DraftZone, who just implemented chat, was very smart to do it. I think it's very important. I think it kind of lends a bit of conversation to, you know, watching games. But there's a difference between conversation and just, you know, ignorance. And one solution that I threw out there on the forum page, which I don't know how hard this is to implement, because from a technology standpoint, I don't know squadoosh. I don't know how hard it is to do certain things to make them actually viable on websites. But I think probably the best way to address this would be each individual person be able to block an individual on chat. So if you don't like D's Nuts on Draft Street, well, you can say, okay, I'm enough with you D's, I'm done, and you block it. If you don't like me on Daily Joust, you can go into Daily Joust and say block DB730, so then you don't have to, you know, listen to any comments I might make. I like that solution, because I certainly don't think they should go away, number one, but I do think that there are certain people on there, and you know, annoying to a person might not be annoying to another. I mean, I can't tell you. I mean, it's just pathetic to look at the chat when somebody scores a touchdown and you just have people, you know, screaming on their keyboard with excessive exclamation points. Not a big fan of that, but that's one of the things that, you know, comes with this. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see if the sites address this down the road. But there were a few complaints here on Roto Grinders about it. But ultimately, you know, I think the websites are doing the best they can trying to moderate it and keep certain people out. But you know, everybody has a different taste in what's, you know, what they want to hear in a chat and what they don't. So be interesting to see what happens moving on. Also, some Roto Grinders user Misfit brought up this idea. You know, people are constantly talking about rake and what the best way is for players to make money. Can you make money? Is the rake too high? Blah, 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 blah. And he brought up a good point that, or not a, I won't say a good point, it wasn't a bad point, but he brought up an idea about actually having the sites charge monthly to the users, and then, you know, the games would end up being rake-free, and of course the sites would make money on the user fee. I can guarantee you 1,000% that's not going to happen. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad idea for him to bring it up. I just don't think it fits the game plan of these sites, because the bottom line is you want somebody to be able to come to your site and play on their site, and people who have to pony up $20, $30, $50, $100 a month, whatever the price might be, and obviously it wouldn't be that $100 a month, but even $20 a month, I think people would be more hesitant to that. I think a new user going in, depositing their money, and, you know, paying $1 extra on a $10 game is a more likely scenario. And I think that's a big reason why you won't see it. And the second reason is I don't think the sites would make that much. I know for a fact sites wouldn't make as much money. So I don't think you're going to see a change in the rake in that sense. Not a bad idea, Mr. Misfit, but realistically, I think it's about a 0% chance of happening. But one thing that I do think is starting to happen, and you've kind of seen it on FanDuel and on Draft Street with their point system, and I think Daily Joust has their badge system, where it's kind of a rake back. It's a give back to the people who play on their site. And I think that's the most important thing going forward, is to reward the people who play a lot on their site. Like we said, the FanDuel point system, now they offer free rolls depending on how many points you have. I think it's bronze, silver, gold, and maybe a platinum for the really high-end players. I like that. That's good. That's a smart way to say, okay, you play on our site, we're going to be giving away some money to somebody who does play on our site. Not just a random free roll with 3,000 people. Although, you know, on FanDuel, if you're a bronze player, there is probably about a couple thousand people in that free roll. But it's still a great concept. And the fact that you can use some of those points now towards regular games is good. And it's on the right track. It's a way to give back to your customers a little bit, especially if you're not just going to flat lower the rake. And then you look at a site like Daily Joust, a nice promotion this month in November with the no rake and the high stakes games. Certainly could save some high stakes players quite a bit of money this month in rake. So, you know, they're not going to run that every month, but something like that is a good way to do it. And of course, they give back quite a bit with their badge tournaments. And of course, the Super Joust going on is another way where it's, you know, the more people play, those are the people who are going to be rewarded and a chance to win those Super Bowl tickets and those big cash prizes. And Draft Street the same way. You know, they've got their points as well, which, you know, you can go towards buying, you know, if you want to buy a pen, you can buy a pen. If you want to buy an entry into a contest, you can do it. Now, you got to save up a lot of points to put them towards games, but at least you have the ability to do it. So I think that's the route that the sites are going to take, rather than just a flat lowering of the rate, because I don't see that gonna happen anytime soon. So that's my opinion on that. And just for an FYI for tonight, in hockey, you got about 5 games out there in hockey, so plenty of hockey action around on pretty much all of the daily fantasy sites out there. And college hoops action, again, FanDuel has a good number of games tonight with the ACC Big Ten Challenge, and of course Draft Zone and Daily Joust playing college hoops pretty much every night over there. Speaking of college hoops, let's get to our next guest. Joining us now on the podcast, we're speaking with a college basketball fantasy expert. Fantasy college hoops is kind of new all around, and especially here for daily fantasy. You've got sites like DraftZone, FanDuel, and of course Daily Joust, and their main college basketball blogger and columnist. He also writes for College Fantasy Hoops Insider.com. Perry Misner joins us now on the podcast.
Hello.
And Perry, it's a pleasure to get you on the show, and let's talk a little bit about some of the games going tonight. Well, actually, before we do that, I want to actually learn about you. You know, how did you become a college hoops expert in fantasy? Because, you know, it's certainly not a well-known game, and but, you know, we see that you write for a couple of sites. Tell us a little bit about your background in college basketball fantasy.
I actually started off as a I like to work my way down. I started off as a hometown correspondent for the Milwaukee Bucks on ESPN, actually. And that was about 8 years ago, and I did that for 2 years. And I got an email one day saying, do you play fantasy college hoops? And I didn't, but I was interested in it, and I signed up to write for a site called Pro Fantasy Sports. And from there, I sort of made it my own. It's my own little niche, and I've been writing about it now for 6 years, actually, and it's been growing slowly and steadily. And the NBA lockout, which is now resolved, helped a lot. But this year, it sort of helped bring in some NBA fans. But so it's been a nice growing small market.
Well, and this is the first year, as far as I know, that Daily Fantasy has actually tackled college fantasy hoops. So that's got to be bringing a lot more people to the table in terms of the growth that we've seen in this industry, and the fact that, you know, people always like to put a little bit extra on a game, and if they can select some players from Ohio State or Duke or whomever, kind of make the game a little bit more exciting. So I'm assuming, you know, the guys at Daily Joust kind of reached out to you and said, hey, we need somebody to write some stuff for us, and you stepped up. So how has the adjustment been for you? Because, you know, just like most other sports, season-long fantasy and daily fantasy is a little bit different.
The adjustment overall has been very smooth. Actually, I was introduced to Daily Joust through an intermediary, Michael Rathburn, who is a fantasy
guy. I know Mike.
He said, you know, you should really check this out, and maybe they'd be interested in having you write. And so I give a lot of thanks to him to setting this up. The adjustment for me has been the points only scoring. I'm used to looking for value in finding rebounds and assists, and I almost in my regular fantasy leagues, I almost never draft just based on points. So that's been my adjustment, trying to forget my biases towards players who can pass and rebound and just go for the chuckers.
And if people aren't familiar with what, you know, with the scoring system, if you're not familiar with college basketball, on Daily Joust, they do only do points scored because they lean very heavily on their live scoring, and they just weren't comfortable yet to introduce the other categories until there was a stats provider that provided the live statistics that they felt is very important. So I know down the road they said they might consider moving into that direction, but until that happens, it's just going to be points scored. And it's, you know, it actually, for the average person, it makes it a tad bit easier because you're just looking at one statistic.
I agree with that. It's good for the not so the casual fan per se, and it's also, I think, it doesn't hurt fantasy to make things simpler, and to complicate things is not always better. And I found since I started playing like 3 weeks ago that when the season opened, it doesn't lose anything just having points. It's still exciting, and having real-time scoring is really important. It's excellent that they have that.
Let's talk about some of the games going on tonight. You know, the great thing about college hoops now is we're going to have games every single night, and Daily Joust, you know, they don't restrict a certain type of team, you know, a big conference or whatever, so you get a really good variety in terms of some of the games that we have out there. But let's hit up on the big one first, and that's going to be North Carolina, Wisconsin. It's interesting because, you know, these two teams, you know, especially North Carolina, they've played some better games along the way. But this is kind of interesting because Wisconsin's been known for their defense throughout the year or throughout the years. How do you see this game going? You know, who are the great plays in the Wisconsin-North Carolina game?
I was looking at this just this afternoon, and I don't know that Wisconsin has the type of athlete to – I think it's a little bit unfair to Wisconsin to say they're non-athletic and to North Carolina to say they don't play defense, because both sides work. But I think it's going to be tough for Wisconsin, especially in North Carolina, to try and compete with the Tar Heels. But I think there were two players that are coming sort of they've had off seasons through the early part, and I think both of them could be good values on Daily Joust. One is the Tar Heel center, Tyler Zeller. He's only averaging 13.5 points, and last year he averaged 15.5, and I think the offense has been more geared around John Henson at this point, but at some point they're going to get back to Zeller in the middle to get easy baskets.
And I'm just going to take a wild guess who maybe the other one is. Could it be Jordan Taylor with Wisconsin? Yeah. Because here's a guy who I've played on several occasions so far this year and been just totally disappointed. You know, he's going against teams like Wofford, Colgate, Bradley, and he's not really getting it done offensively. I mean, right. Could this be the game that he breaks out maybe because the competition's a bit stiffer?
Well, North Carolina does like to play at a fast pace, so I think that'll help Taylor some. But I think he's a good value at – I mean, he's only scoring 11 points a game, and he's actually third on his own team. But I think he does make a good value, especially going against Kendall Marshall, who is a subpar defensive point guard. So I think Taylor, even though he's disappointed in the past, you have to erase that, as I've learned writing. You have to quickly forget your bad picks and keep going. And I think I would go with him again.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a try again because I think the price is going to be right on him. And that's, you know, that's half the battle with fantasy sports is, you know, anybody can take all the highest scoring players, but you'll only, you know, you'll go over your budget. So you got to find the values. And I think he might be one of those. Here's a team that I was excited about, a mid-major team I was excited about coming into the season. And they've really lived up to the expectations. That's Creighton. And they've actually got a great game against San Diego State, who's 7-1 themselves. And Creighton's actually number 22 in the country. You got to love Doug McDermott as much as I do, because this guy, you know, he is lighting it up. I mean, 23 points a game. I mean, I know he's going to be expensive, but it looks like this Creighton offense is just going to, you know, score points as many as they possibly can, and it's been a lot so far this year.
They have, and they haven't faced a terribly tough competition, and San Diego State, I think, is a step up in that direction. I actually was kind of down on McDermott coming into the season, which proved to be wrong, because I thought he was kind of tapped out as far as minutes go, and I wondered about his potential, but he is he's gotten even better this year. I mean, he's had at least 25 points in his last three games, so it would be hard to go against him. But Steve Fisher at San Diego State has a pretty good front line that they've sort of patched together, and I think they'll offer a bit more resistance.
Give me a game that you like. Give me a matchup that you're intrigued with here on this Wednesday of college hoops action.
Sure. Well, I'm going to go another mid-major duel. UC Santa Barbara against UNLV looks like a terrific game. I mean, you have, and it has a lot of scoring potential as well. UCSB has two of the best scorers in the nation. I mean, Orlando Johnson is a fairly well-known name now that after he applied for the NBA draft last year, and he's averaging 21.5, and then they have a forward named Joe Nunnally who has 19.5, so that's 40 points from two players. And then UNLV is coming off their win over North Carolina, so they're it'll be a very interesting game.
How about Notre Dame Gonzaga? This is kind of interesting too. Notre Dame, mm-hmm. I'll tell you right now, I watched them earlier, and I'm not impressed by them at all. I think that they're really slow, and I think, you know, maybe not Gonzaga's not the most athletic and fastest team out there, but I can't even remember exactly who they were playing that night, but it was just such a one-sided affair, and I thought to myself, this
was Missouri.
Missouri, that's exactly the game that it was. It was so ugly watching those two. What's your feelings on this? I mean, Gonzaga's got, you know, Robert Sacre down low, who's a kind of a big name, and then they've got this little guard who's just a lights-out shooter. Give me some thoughts on this matchup.
Well, the guard is Kevin Pangos, and I think he's a bit overvalued in Daily Joust at this point because he hit 9 threes in one game, I believe. So it's pretty rare to do that twice, and I wouldn't spend the money on him. Notre Dame is interesting because they have the Tim Abramidis injury to come back from, and so they're going to be sort of sorting things out as they did in the beginning of the season. So I think they could have some nice value in players like Jurian Grant and Scott Martin, who will see extra time with Abramidis out.
joined by Perry Misner. He writes the blog on Daily Joust. And by the way, folks, make sure you check that out when you're putting your teams together over there, because he does give you some really good picks. And you know, it's not just a bunch of gibberish. He actually makes some really good points. I'm serious. Like, some of the times, you know, some of the blogs you don't even bother with. But with College Hoops, you've really given some good insight along the way. So I want to really direct people to that when they go to the site. Florida State and Michigan State, you know, this is kind of interesting because I know Draymond Green, a lot of people really like him as a scorer, but do you really want to take anybody against Florida State? Because they seem like, you know, the defensive juggernaut that, you know, got to the Elite Eight last year. To me, I would stay away from players in that. Do you agree or not?
I agree completely. I can see that game being in the 40s or 50s if all things go well. Green is... he's mainly an all-around player, and he's trying to improve his scoring this year. But even at like almost 13 points, he's not gonna score well against the bigs of Florida State. And Florida State, maybe Michael Snare will be an average salary player who you might want to look at. But even still, the Spartans are no slouch on defense either.
Let's look at another. ACC Big Ten Challenge. I love this tournament, by the way, that they put on the last couple days. And this is a matchup between two teams who, coming into the season, might not have had a lot of expectations. But, you know, they're working their way back, and that's Indiana and North Carolina State. You know, Indiana, they've got do they have a Zeller on their team, too?
They do. Cody Zeller, yeah.
Is he a true freshman?
He is.
How's his production been this year?
He's looking good. I mean, people expected him to sort of break in slowly, but he's averaging 15 points, so I wouldn't call that breaking in slowly. They need him. I mean, they need him to be the sort of bellwether of their program to bring Indiana back to prominence. And so far, so good. I mean, they've won all six of their games, and they beat Butler in their last game. So, you know, it'll be a good matchup, and they travel to North Carolina State, so it'll be tough for them to win. And I think North Carolina State sort of coming back from C.J. Leslie's three-game suspension to open the season, but they also are sort of a program on the rebound.
Now, I don't know if you know the numbers off the top of your head. This is kind of putting you on the spot, but we'll go with it. With scoring being basically the lone statistic, or being the lone statistic on Daily Joust, you know, teams that score a lot of points are good, and teams that let the opponent score a lot of points are good.
Yes.
Do you know who are the main culprits in those two categories? So, you know, obviously if you're between a player on two teams, you might want to go with somebody on one of those, either one that's high scoring or gives up a lot of points. You know those stats, or a couple of teams to look at going forward?
The one team that has been proof pudding the last 5 years is Virginia Military. They're in the Big South, and they have led the nation in scoring the last 5 years. I think they're probably going to do it again this year. They don't play any defense. And so it's good to take them and their opponents, because especially once they get in Big South play and the opponents know what they're going to do, they just run up and down, and it's generally in the hundreds. This season so far, the top scorer is Iona, and they're a good team out of the MAAC, the AA.
The AAC.
Yeah. And they have three prominent players that can be looked at. Their point guard, Scott Machado, their big guy, whose name I'm blanking on, but they also have Arizona transfer Lamont Momo Jones. Michael Glover is the forward. He's averaging 21 points. So those three players can be looked at. They'll all be high-priced in Daily Joust, but they're generally worth it. And as they get into conference play, they'll be seeing sort of an equal level of competition, and they'll all perform well.
Yeah, and it's one of those situations, too, when you got so many points being scored, you know, even a guy coming off the bench, because let's face it, with you know, when you put together a team, it's hard to be putting together all starters. You got to find some guys off the bench who'll get some minutes, and, you know, if a team's going to score 100, there's a good chance your guy might be able to chip in for 10 off the bench, even if he doesn't do it all the time. So that's good. See, that's the kind of advice that, you know, people need to be looking at going forward. Well, Perry, I certainly appreciate appreciate your time today. We'll definitely do it going forward. Maybe we'll get you on a Friday here down the road so you can give us some advice before one of the big tournaments, because that's usually when they put those in play. And and we thank you for your time today.
Great. Thank you.
Before I wrap up the program, I want to say thanks to my good friends at Daily Joust, great sponsor here of the podcast, have been since day one, and we appreciate that. So please go over to their site, check them out. College hoops action. Be glad I didn't tip you off on Perry Jones yesterday. You know, he was a minimum salary player. I played a couple of solo contests. And, yeah, he scored 26 points, but somehow I still lost my 100-point solo yesterday. Rough day for me on college hoops yesterday on Joust, but they've got action going every single night with that. College football back this weekend, got their games up. Of course, it's championship week, so still a chance for you to win some money in that. Of course, NHL, I talk about the live scoring, some of the best out there that you're going to find. And make sure you get a chance to get that entry into the Super Joust contest. And I will say this, maybe the easiest way to get in is going to be a top 50 jouster. So if you play on Daily Joust, now you don't have to play a lot, because if you want to be a top 50 jouster, you basically go by the badges. So, you know, if you play a couple of games a week, take a look and see where you rate on that leaderboard for badges, because if you get into the top 50, you get yourself one entry. So a lot of people say, oh, you know, I'm never going to win one of these big tournaments. I'm never going to get the high score. Well, you know what? All you do is just have to figure out a way to get badges, and they're not that difficult. You can, start a new game. I mean, start a new hockey game, start a new college basketball game, win a solo, win a $5 solo on hockey or basketball. You do that, you can get yourself a badge. So get into the top 50. I'm telling you, that's going to be the easiest way to get into the Super Joust, which is going to be going on right around Christmas time. So we thank them again for our support. They're dailyjoust.com. And with that, it's going to be the end of the podcast for this Wednesday. We return tomorrow. We'll start looking at some NFL games as, of course, you've got Thursday night action, I think, again this week. But we will definitely be giving you our picks for wide receivers, tight ends, team defenses tomorrow, and all sorts of other daily fantasy sports discussion. And it's only on one place. It's right here on the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix, presented by Daily Joust. We thank you once again, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.